The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 7, We Come Out. They made plans with hours of boring talk. I wished someone would turn on a television and find a good movie like The Cat in the Hat, or maybe That Darn Cat. Meg sat with a pad of paper and wrote commercials while I napped in the most comfortable chair. I was dozing when I heard Meg say, "Patch, listen to this." We open with old news footage of black people marching in the South during the Civil Rights Movement. My voiceover says, "Americans fought for the rights of this minority and won." A nice sentiment, but when did we get to me? Seiko said, "I like that. You're going after the black vote right away." But that's not the point. We dissolved the footage of that paraplegic man, George Lane, who crawled up the courthouse steps in Tennessee to protest inaccessibility. My VO says something like, "Americans also fought for the rights of this minority and made public buildings accessible." "Good, good. Another part of our coalition," Tom said, "and it sets up our lawsuit." Then we dissolved to a shot of Patch. My ears tuned in on her at that point, and I sat up on my chair. I wondered if I would get fan letters. Seiko said, "But cats aren't a minority." I hated it when reality put the brakes on. Meg came to me. "This one is." Putting her pad on the lamp table beside the chair, she picked me up. I was cool with that. She sat in my chair and cuddled me in her lap, stroking my back. She said, "We show Patch, and I say, but there's a new minority that is denied the rights other citizens enjoy." We pull back and reveal that Patch is in my lap. Papers rustled as Tim stirred. "I like it so far. But wouldn't it be more leader-like for you to stand?" "Maybe later, but I think seated is less threatening when we get to the vampire part." "Good point." Then I say, "There are Bloomsburg citizens who, through no fault of their own, because of a tragic illness, can only go out when it's dark." Seiko clapped her hands. "Going for the sympathy vote, too." "Hey, it's all true." So I say, "I can't take my cat to the vet because he can't go out in daylight, and that's the only time they're open." I lifted my head. "Vet?" I hated vets. "They treat you like an animal." And there was nothing wrong with me, except for having no pulse. Meg looked down at me and patted my head. "Don't worry, Patch. We're not going to the vet. That's just an example." Silly me. I relaxed. Then the camera goes in for a close-up of Patch, and I say, "You see, Patch is a vampire kitty cat." "Great," Seiko said. "The cat lover vote." I thought about which was my best side. Would I need makeup? Maybe touch up my orange spots a little? Meg said, "Then the camera cuts to me, and I say, afflicted by the same tragic disease, I can no longer work at my day job. I can't even go to the unemployment office because it's only open during the day. Yes, I'm a vampire too, and Patch and I are prisoners of the night." Tom said, "Wow, you managed to use tragic twice. If I could cry, I'd be sobbing right now." Meg glanced at her script. When was she going to get back to me? She read, "There are too many minorities neglected by society, and that's why I want your vote. With me..." She looked down at me. "And my kitty cat partner on your side, all minorities will have a voice in Bloomsburg." Being a minority of one, that sounded like a good thing to me. She said, "We will open the doors of City Hall to all, from vampires to..." She trailed off. I haven't gotten that bit down yet. Then she sat straight and hugged me to her chest. "But here's the finish." She smiled and looked straight ahead, as if at an imaginary camera. "A vote for Megan Patch," she glanced down at me and scratched behind my ears, "is a vote for freedom." Mom, apple pie, kitty cats, vampires, and the American way. It was enough to make you meow. I did my best to smile for the imaginary camera, which meant I didn't really have to do anything since cats have a built-in smile. I didn't open my mouth, of course, because when you're coming out as a vampire, it's probably not a good idea to show fangs. Seiko sat with her mouth open. She snapped out of her fascination and said to Meg, "You're good. I hardly felt manipulated at all." She stepped close and scratched the top of my head. Good spot selection. You've got my vote. Hey, you've got to hand it to Kitty Cat Power. Igor stood and stretched. I think it's amazing. He looked at his watch. Goodness, it's almost dawn. I've got to get a little sleep so I can get things done when the courthouse opens. And I'll call the TV stations and the newspaper. He gave Tim and Tom a sassy salute and sashayed out the door. Energized by runaway fantasies about being the powerful associate of a powerful city councilwoman, I eased myself out of Meg's lap. If it was near dawn, I wondered if the stories about the effect of sunlight were true. All the black curtains suggested they were. I headed for the window. It had been a while since I'd seen the night sky, and I had a need for a glimpse. At the window I stood, put my paws on the windowsill, and poked my head under the curtain. The stars were faint because of city lights, but it was good to see them. Movement in front of the house attracted my gaze. Igor getting into his car. After he drove away, something tall and dark stepped from the shrubbery by the front walk. The figure turned toward the window, and Lester's pale face looked my way. I don't think he saw me, which made it even creepier when he smiled, his fangs almost luminescent. By dawn, everyone was pretty much dragging, including me, although I had gotten in a good lick. My skin seemed more sensitive than before I became a V, and I had a fine time. Before we headed for bed, the lawyer brothers served up another helping of V1 juice to get us through the day. Then they showed us to our guest rooms, one for Seiko and one for Meg and me. Their condo was more like a manzo, with a half dozen bedrooms and accompanying baths. Chasing ambulances must pay well. The showers were a big hit with the ladies, and Meg came out smiling after hers. In lieu of night clothes, Tim stopped by with t-shirts for Seiko and Meg. Since Seiko was tiny and Meg was small, they made fine night shirts. Meg's shirt had a Grateful Dead logo on it, and Seiko's was a Black Sabbath shirt. Ha! With the windows covered by black curtains, I couldn't tell when the sun actually came up, but my eyes and the skin on my nose itched when I passed near the window. Tim warned us, "Don't open the curtain unless you're sure it's dark." Tom peeked out on our first day as vampires, and it took him 2 nights to get over the shock. So Meg curled up in the center of a king-size bed, and I did the same on a well-padded chair. I like to sleep with my associates, but I found that it's a good idea to learn first whether or not they toss and turn. Night had come by the time the bloodlust started up in my belly and burned its way through an enjoyable dream about that little Siamese that I'd been on the way to visit when Meg grabbed me. Meg was moaning. I leaped onto the bed and nudged her hand with my nose. Somebody had to open the door, and then a bottle of vampire juice. Her eyes opened, and then the corners crinkled when she gave me a grin. "Hey, Patch!" She reached to stroke me, but I gave her a short murf, hopped to the floor, went to the door, and looked back at her. She sat up, and then frowned and put a hand to her stomach. Ouch! She scrambled out of the bed and led the way down to the kitchen, her bare legs flashing and the t-shirt billowing. I had to trot to keep up. The brothers were already up and fully dressed. Green was the tie color of the day, but this time Tom went for stripes and Tim sported a natty checked pattern. Seiko wasn't there yet. After a bowl of blood got my heart to pumping and my purr to humming, I lounged on a rug while they planned their day. Night. After a first gulp, Meg took her time, sipping her blood from a coffee mug. She told the twins, "I dreamed about making a speech, and then this mob came after me with torches. It was like the villagers in that old Frankenstein movie." A shiver went down my spine, all the way to the tip of my tail. She frowned. "Are we really going to do this?" Tim took the lead. "Not to worry. This is a civilized country. I mean, we're in Illinois." Tom said, "Igor emailed us. We've got a press conference here at 8:30. The newspaper and KTVC. which should get us good exposure for the 10 o'clock news. The sun doesn't set soon enough to do anything for the evening time slot. But, Tom added, we'll own the morning newspaper. I'm sure Vampires in Bloomsburg will be the buzz for a few days. Tom nodded. Half of getting elected is name recognition, Meg, and you and Patch will be all over the place. Meg put a hand to her heart. Oh, no, my parents. They can't learn about me being a vampire from the news. She looked to the brothers. I have to go see them first. Sure, Tim said. Take one of the cars. He pointed to the door that led from the kitchen down to the garage. Three sets of keys hung on hooks beside it. Try the Porsche. She looked down at her T-shirt. I only have one thing to wear, and I've been in it for a week, including in and out of the ground. You haven't been home? When the pain drove me to feed, well, I wasn't very good at attacking people, so I had to find animals. I wasn't much better at that, and I was never able to get back home before dawn. You won't have that problem anymore. He opened a drawer and took out two small cylinders wrapped in red paper. He handed them to her. Carry these with you in case you get stuck out there. She examined the wrapper and said, Death savers? She opened the wrapper and took out a little red ring and then laughed. Blood candy? There's a little gelatin to hold it together, but it's not too hard on your stomach. When she came back from changing clothes and took a set of keys, Tom said, If you'd like to stay with us, bring some things back with you. I think I will. It would be awfully lonely there. She looked to me. Hey, Patch, want to go for a ride? What the heck? Lying there listening to lawyers talk about politics was as much fun as a conversation with a dog. And I liked riding in cars. It's surreal to move without moving. Meg drove to her apartment. I stayed in the Porsche while she collected her mail and went into her apartment house, a nice brick courtyard building. She returned wearing a tan pleated skirt and a forest green cotton sweater. After loading the back seat of the Porsche with more clothes and a suitcase, she called her mom on her cell phone to let her know she was coming by, and then drove us to a nice house in the burbs. The porch light was on, and the night was peaceful and quiet. With me in her arms, Meg stood on the sidewalk. Her grip was tight, and I wanted to tell her to relax, but, of course, couldn't. I could see how it would be tough to tell your parents that you were more or less dead. Oh, Patch, she said. This is going to kill them. Well, the more the merrier. And then the pain in Meg's voice got through to me. I was an ass, not a kitty cat. She went to the front porch and put a fingertip to the doorbell.
Please don't murder me.
The song is Dire Wolf. From Reckoning by the Grateful Dead.
Please don't murder me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.